message is going, that question came up as far as God saying friend and then casting him into outer darkness. But there is a word that embodies, and the word gets tossed around today, tolerant. Tolerance, but there is something that's interesting about fully loving God, fully giving invitation, and allowing the choice. So we live in a time where God tolerates evil, he tolerates choice, he gives choice. But there's something about how God handles that interaction that should help us understand what tolerance means for us. Graciousness, a heart, an invitation, and yet no compromise on truth. Like, God fully said friend, invitation, and yet fully cast it down to darkness. That's truth. That's the word of God. And so we'd like to start today. Just want to get three guys up here, and you guys can sit down after that. So I want to get three big guys and three little guys. So Kyle, why don't you come over here? Andrew, you come over here. William, young guys here. And Landon, you good to come over here? Jayden. And Shane, you're kind of big for this. Maybe I'll get you up here, Shane. Okay. So you guys stand right here. And the other guys right here. And just going to have a little wrestling match. Before we do this, I want them to place bets. Well, we don't bet, so we won't be there. Who's going to win this contest? You think they'll win the contest? Okay. You guys just stay up here for a little bit. If you guys can, I mean, I'll let you go in a little bit here. So as you think of popular culture today, I asked to talk two Sundays in a row. So nobody made me. I asked to do it. But I want to talk about male and female, and I want to talk about the way our world defines it. But as you talk about in your regular life, as you talk about homosexuality, as you talk about gay, as you talk about transgender, binary, we could keep going with terms. But like, where does it sometimes feel that mainstream, our world, American popular culture, American culture, and where I am as a person, where do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as the big guys? Or do you more identify as, like, honestly, like, they're the big guys? So anybody want to comment? Like, it's just if... In today's world, the world you live in, as you operate, but as you talk about those terms, what does it sometimes feel like? Like, your willingness to just stick your neck out and say, you know, this. But do you often feel like there's just so much more than us? Do you feel like the little guys, or do you feel like the big guys? Anybody want to comment?
I feel like the little guys, because if you speak out against, like, modern culture, you get immediately get ostracized by a bunch of, like, especially, like, big cities, because they're really leaning into all that you were talking about. But, like, you go into rural areas of America, and then, like, all those people get ostracized, and they're called all kinds of names because they have, like, their views.
No, that's very good. Those are kind of weird. Anybody else any different? A lady, speak up here.
Well, I go back and forth because nutshell before it silences the other ground, and then I feel like we should have this mom.
Where the inclusive becomes exclusive quickly. So, I'm going to get you guys back up here later, and then we'll actually give you just a little bit of a tussle. So, you can go sit down. So, the title of today's message is prayer. And talking just about male and female, we can go to Genesis 1, and it says, God made them male and female. He created them male and female. So, we can go look at, do we believe the Bible? We can look at, do we believe God created? I'd like to spend a little bit of time at looking at God's kingdom, and then also the wind of today. So what God set up, male and female, it's important in an athletic contest to know if you're superior to the other team and in what areas. So if you're going to play a basketball game or a football game or something, it's kind of important if you know if you're actually better than the other team. And if you're not actually better than them, you have to find ways to compete. But it's important for us as Christians to know how strong we are or what we have to stand on. And it's important to know our arena. There are coaches that are really good at taking less talented teams and beating teams that are much more talented. And I asked Ashton who he said Kiffin, right? Lane Kiffin. And so that's a Mississippi State or Ole Miss coach. But he does good at taking a less talented team and finding ways to beat. There is one that is far, not a coach, there is an accuser, a noisemaker, that honestly is affecting a lot of things in our world today that is doing a lot with this, maybe a lot of people. So it is important as Christians to understand, is there a battle? Is there a war? Is there a contest? And like the one thing, and like I, is there still a contest? In the big war, is there still a contest? I need input here. There may be battles, there may be skirmishes, but there is no contest. The contest for truth, for the kingdom, it's over. Individually, we still choose, but not. There is one God. Jesus took power over everything, sin, death, all. He will one day hand rule back to Father and sit down. But he took power. There is no contest. I was born in 1971. Just a little reference here. Went to public school through grade 6. And there was a kid in my class most of those years, same grade, Shane Hapner. And this is back in the years. And Shane played with girls. That's what he did all the way through kindergarten. I mean, all the way through elementary school. I mean, he always was just playing with the girls. And it was probably third grade, fourth grade. He would talk about it, that he was born a girl. And he was stuck back in his mama's tummy. And like, I'd like you young ones to help me answer this question. Let's say somebody under sixth grade. And he said he was stuck back in his mama's tummy because they wanted a boy. And they stuck him back in, and he came out a boy. This is 50 years ago. Did that happen? Why did that not happen? It doesn't work that way. We know that's kids. That does not happen. There is not, that's not, that's not part of the story. He was not born a girl. And this is a little side note, maybe just, and I'm not just saying it was a say it, but in third grade, I remember a cute girl, Tanya Kaufman, and she was a cutie. Third grade. You know, but it's just funny how you go back, and this means nothing to me, but as a kid, like in third grade, I knew there was a cute girl in my class. I knew that Shane was confused in third grade, fourth grade. I knew that didn't happen. And I was fourth or fifth grade, January, when I was 11. I'm not sure what grade that was, fifth maybe, when I went up to an altar call and surrendered. And it's a big deal for me. And did I follow obediently? No. But I surrendered a piece. And there was a conversion. I know that from those days. And I accepted Jesus. So Genesis tells us that God created man in his image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created him. So just handling the word current today. Want to look at a few pictures of the end of the story. So what does the end of the story look like? And look, I want to look at what God said would happen on earth when man and I, the creator, can worship the creator. And it's kind of interesting. It's like one thing that this is so present, but one thing that's not purple, but is a picture of that, is the movie Barbie. When men deny the creator and worship the creator, but it's so present. It's not anything different from a lot of other stuff around us. It's just that when people deny the creator and worship the created, there's things that happen. And we're in those things that happen. That's what's happening. It's not surprising. It's what's is what the Bible said would happen when this would happen, then this would happen. I want to look a little bit of definition of modern and postmodernism. And it doesn't change anything. It just helps us explain the current that we're in. I'm going to go on with male and female more next Sunday. So I'm not going to go all into that. But I want to look at current. How are you doing with current presently? Like as you operate in this world and you handle morality, as you interact with male, female, gay, homosexuality, gender, binary, I mean, it, potato chip. I mean, it is this endless what people. So are you surviving? Is that what you're doing? Are you just ducking? Are you laying low? Are you standing on truth with love? Are you strong? Are you emboldened? And like, it's interesting because the call of the King in our Sunday school is the call to the lady. And that's the call, that's our call, and it's the call that's on. It's the call for the world today. There's a wedding coming, and we are invited, and we are bearers of that message. There's another. Are you confused with this stuff? Are you an influencer? And that can be a very good thing. Like, are you willing to actually influence culture? Are you a witness? It's kind of interesting because, like, in some ways, Christianity has moved from a position of strong influence. And I'm not saying that's not our call. But, like, in some ways, we are now in a time of just witness. And there's a little difference there. There's a lot of things that are in play that are going to play. But are you willing to stand up and speak and bear witness of total truth? other question is, does it really matter? Is it what if? So the future is OTW. The future is all the way right. Just so we're clear on this, the future is not TBD, to be decided. The future is on the way. Like, there's a king coming that will reign. That is happening. There's no question. On the way, do you believe? Who's the king? Who's in control? Will there be peace and joy? So I want to look at Isaiah 35. I want to read a few scriptures. This is part of it, and now for the rest of the story. But if you want to pull up Isaiah 35 there, Keith. This is in the New Living, so just going to read it. Even the wilderness, and this is the day when Isaiah reigns. And whether that's here, whether that's in heaven, like, he is coming. He will reign. And the first part of Isaiah talks about a lot of judgment. And so there'll be a day. Even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The desert will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, and as lovely as Mount Carmel, the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands, encourage those who have weak knees, save those with fearful hearts. Be strong and do not fear. For your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer. Those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and springs will water the wasteland. The parched ground will become a pool. The springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and reeds and rushes will flourish where desert cattle once lived. And a great road will go through that once deserted land. It will be named a highway of holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any other foreign beast. There will be no other dangers. Only the redeemed will walk on it. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear. They will be filled with joy and gladness. There will be harmony in God's kingdom. There's a king, and he's in control, and he orders the things in his kingdom. He always has. It's interesting, even in Genesis, he spoke into being out of nothing, and he set things in order. It's his kingdom, and it will always be his kingdom. And like, there's so much noise, there's so much, but there is a king in control, a king reigning over, and in his kingdom, there is peace. There is sovereignty, there is serenity, there's love. Not disorder, not evil. And may go to Isaiah 11 and read part of that. If you guys want to just read through that, I'll. Verse 4, he will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an ephod. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion. A little child will lead them all. nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. And you can go to 1 book of Revelation 21. Why don't we read this together? I'll try to read it in a way that. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth,
where the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he sat on the throne and said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the boundless water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of the burning of fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
How many, and maybe just ask this to those under 30 first, but how many of you believe that God will reign? Like there'll be a heaven forever, that God will make his children home, that that's actually a reality. You guys believe that? What do you say about it?
I'm excited.
Does it change what we believe about it? If, like, does that change if it actually is? What about all of us as older people? Is that a reality we believe in and look forward to? That God will reign. That he'll reign with us. That we can be present with him forever. And what does that mean to you? What do you base? What all do you invest in that church?
Everything.
You look forward to it?
Amen.
Would you go next week? No, I mean, what about it? Like, it could just, like, what's broken won't be broken anymore. Righteousness. His reign. Paul spoke about the power of the gospel, Romans, and spoke about the power of the gospel, but also about the sinfulness of man. So he said, don't be surprised by what happens as man's sinfulness plays out, as they worship not the Creator. So what happens to male and female? So we'd like to, Gabe, if you could pull up Romans 1. This is in the New Living. I might get some of you ladies to read about four verses each. You good, Jamie? First four. Gloria, the next four. Megan, the next four. Lois, Elenita, somewhere there. So you just read as loud as you can. You good, Jamie? Just read about four verses. When the person in front of you stops, you go, Dame Gloria Mayum, Lois Gloria.
I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work to save everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentiles. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that the righteous person is saved. But God shows His anger because it is all sinful and discusses the truth for our religions. They know the truth about God because He has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, because He is the through everything God made, they can see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God.
Yes, they know God, but it would have told them that or any other thing. And they began to think that they were trying to what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols, made to look like mere people, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things quickly under
They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. As my God abandoned them to their shameful desires, even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with and the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned lust for each other. Men did shameful things to other men. And as a result of sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty.
Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things they should have done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent miracles and the use of their parents. They refuse to understand their promises, are heartless and have no mercy. They have found that their true desires that those who do these things deserve to die have been committed to death. Which, yes, but it's true to find to do with the
creation. Can we pull up the next one, maybe? If you want to read four here, let me know. This is the message, so it's, I take it more as like, do I trust the message for theological? But it is good if it pops the words out. So do it as a commentary. And do it.
It's news. I was proud. I was proud of the plan. This extraordinary message of God's power for the plan to rescue everyone who trusts Him. Pardon Jews and then right almost everyone else. God's way of treating people right shows love in the acts of faith. Person in right standing before God trusting Him really lives. God's anger is pleasure for us, and that kind of distrust and wrongdoing and lying accumulate. People try to put shroud over truth. The basic reality of God is pointing that open your eyes and there get it right. I've long thought to look at what God has created. Have always been able to see what their eyes as such can't see. Eternal power, for instance, and the mystery of His divine being. So nobody has a good excuse. What happened was this. People knew God perfectly well, but when they didn't treat Him like God, refusing to worship Him, they trivialized themselves in the silliness and disputes so that there was neither sense nor direction left in their lives. They pretended to know it all, but there were deliberate regarding life.
fact, if that's what you want, that's what you get. It wasn't long before they were living in a pig pen smeared with filth the inside and out, and all this because they traded the true God for a fake God and worshiped the God they made instead of the God who made them. The God we bless, the God who blesses us, oh yes, worse followed. Refusing to know God, they soon didn't know how to be human either. This is the word of God. Women didn't know how to be women. Men didn't know how to be men. Sexually confused, they abused and defiled one another. Women with women, men with men, all lust, no love. And then they paid for it. Oh, they paid for it. Empty of God and love, godless and loveless wretches. And they didn't bother to acknowledge God. God quit bothering them and left them loose. And then all hell broke loose. Rampant evil, grabbing and grasping, vicious backsliding. They made life hell on earth with their envy, wanting to only victory and cheating. Look at them, mean-spirited, venomous, forked-tongued God-bashers, bullying, swaggering, insufferable windbags. They can confess when men for new ways of wrecking life. They ditch their parents when they get in the way. Stupid, slimy, cruel, cold-blooded, and it's not as if they didn't know better. They know perfectly well they're spitting in God's face, they don't care. Worse, they hand out prizes to know who the worst things best. So it's not a surprise when men make evil choices, when men make choices to not worship God and worship men, evil ensues. And we're seeing that. And so God instituted basic institutions to accomplish his purposes. Like in some ways it doesn't seem like that big a deal. Like it's pretty basic. But God set up family. It's a big deal. Like, we're not just where marriages are broken. Now we're where men and women don't know how to be men and women. So, like, it is more of an attack on God's, what God set up, than sometimes we think. It's an attack. Like, God set up church. God set up government. But, like, there is an agenda from the pit of hell against everything God set up and created good. It is, and it's don't think tolerance is accepting what God called evil. It's not. We've passed Satan's attack on just marriage back a ways. Like he's onto the very foundation of man and woman. Foundation. And the one that looked just a little bit of modern and postmodern, some of you young people know this stuff better than I do. So I'm not, like, it's kind of a fluid. I'm good to open it up here a little bit. It's more, there's a current we live in. Recognize the current. Like, we've all been at the beach, we've all been out in the water, and been playing the surf or waves, and you look up. And where you were sitting down the beach, and you didn't move. And no. Like, it's the reality that it is so easy that the things that we think are so clearly right there, the current pushes us. Think back 20, 30 years for some of you, like, how normal are some of these things? One is divorce. We get used to this stuff. Modern versus postmodern. Modern is related to logical and rational thinking, whereas postmodern has denied this logical thinking. While a modern approach was theoretical, objective, and analytical, so it put a lot of emphasis on understanding. The postmodern approach was subjective, quite a bit of feeling or personal interpretation involved with the world we live in. The modernist was in search of an abstract truth of life, whereas the postmodernist did not believe in abstract truth or in universal truth. modernism, there was an attempt to develop a coherent worldview, but in postmodernism, there's an attempt to remove the differences. So everything's just fluid. Anybody, any of you young people want to comment on just like postmodernism? What's some of the dangers of it? Is it good to have feelings? Is it good for all of us to have feelings? Is it good for feelings to dictate how we do life? Anybody, any age? I don't pretend to understand all of this, but I do understand this, the current religion. Postmodernism, a humanistic doctrine of self-redemption emerged from this man and knowledge-oriented worldview. Since man started liberating himself from all ideologies of the modern era that impeded his freedom of thought and lifestyle, he consciously moved from the modern to the postmodern period, but to be able to do that, he had to discredit and abandon important characteristics of the modern era because they are too restrictive and prescriptive in nature. That gave rise to an extensive process of deconstruction. Deconstruction is a key concept in postmodern reforms. The old order of human society should completely vanish to make room for the new order of a free and united humanity. In a modern legal system, these liberties are honored as the highest expression of the constitutional rights of every individual. Postmodernism is basically a revolution against the God of the Bible. His authority stands in the way of fallen humanity, who wants to be in full control of its own affairs. People are no longer willing to comply with God's guidelines, want to be free to do as they please. The present postmodernism rebellion against God, His Son, His Word, and the Christian tradition of almost 2,000 years is the peak of end time humanity's spiritual foolishness and self-exaltation. They will only have themselves to blame when they fall into the hands of the living God and receive the righteous retribution for their spiritual treason. However, we are still in the age of grace and should not waste any time to get in right relationship with God. It is immeasurably better to know Him as your Savior now than face Him one day as a judge and be condemned with all unbelievers. This is just a little bit of Billy Graham musing toward the end. This is 2020, May 18th, and I could read your statistics on drugs, like it just so many things that. There's a lot of good, there's a lot of evil in the world, but this is, I'm not going to try to make this long. Some people have accused me of being a moral alarmist. This is Billy Graham, who leans on the panic button too often. But I have traveled over the world too much, talked privately to too many of our national leaders, accepted the fears and concerns of the average American too many times to be overly optimistic about the state of our nation. I don't see anything wrong with being a realist, seeing things as they are, telling it as it is. The worst course of action, it seems to me, would be to bury our heads in the sand and shrink your hide from the dangers that threaten to envelop us. Jump ahead, but the supreme crisis that confronts us is neither political nor economic. It is the moral and spiritual. If we fail to solve this moral and spiritual crisis, we may be doomed like the great nations of the past. Take a hard look at America and all its problems. It is not unlike the mirror in which each American sees himself. I am often asked, is America at the crossroads? My answer is an emphatic no. The idea of the crossroad implies that we are a place we can choose one place or another to follow. I think we already made a choice at a crossroads some time ago. I doubt that anyone can specify that exact time when this choice was made. But in my judgment, it has been made. And we are well along the dead end road who deliberately choose to follow it. The choice was made when America as a nation abandoned obedience to God and its moral law. We chose the road to secularism, hedonism, materialism, and moral permissiveness.
It is true, of course, that millions of influential Americans have not abandoned obedience to God or to his moral law. Millions of Americans live for the Lord. It is also true that millions of people, especially young people, are responding to the proclamation of the gospel. But these encouraging facts should not lead us to self-delusion that all is working out, that the coming judgment will be averted. But it is a talk. How do you do life in that current? How do you live well when that's the world that you live in? And I want to get the young guys back up here, both of you. All of you guys. It's just the reality that today we're going to have to just call you guys losers, so we're sorry. But you're going to be the noise of our world. It's going to be the voice that says that what God said doesn't matter, that man can do whatever he wants. And there's a day coming when God, and we're just going to act like these guys are God, and it's like a wimpy picture. They're pretty tough, but they're nowhere. So if you guys want to just take them down and kind of get one foot standing on them, okay? You can go ahead. I'm not doing this just to be funny, but there's no contest. There's a day the craziness is getting called in. There's a day when God restores order. And if you let the voice of this world, the current of this world, affect you, you will be there. There is one king, and he says it's his kingdom. It will always be that way. There is not many voices. There's one voice that matters. You guys can go.
You know, I think about one of the verses that you read about how God left them to their foolishness. And I see that in cities, like the further away they stray from God, the worse their situation gets. Like just as far as a violence, crime, debauchery, all kinds of things. And I just think back to that verse about he'll leave them to their foolishness, that way they can destroy themselves.
Thank you, Andrew. I think the one thing I do want us to call to is operate today knowing that our God is in control, that what he told us matters, the word he gave us, it stands, it always will, it's eternal. So operate out of strength. We're not a wimpy football team. We're operating with the King. And what he calls sin is still sin. Foolishness doesn't change what he calls sin. It doesn't. Never will. Are you an influencer? A witness? So it is a big deal if we can't change culture that we can't be a witness. It's important that we affect the culture where we live. But if the overall culture is going that way, then we do need to be witnesses. Does it matter? Absolutely it does. It's our King, and he loves all people. And he has us here to love people. Are you tolerant? We're tolerant as God is tolerant. Love people, but it doesn't change what sin is called. Sin. I'm going to read just a couple things yet. 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm going to read it in the Message, a few verses, and I'm going to turn around and read it in the King James. There's a nice symmetry in this. This is 21. Death initially came by a man, and resurrection from death came by a man. Everybody dies in Adam, everybody comes alive in Christ. But we have to wait our turn. Christ is first, then those with him at his coming. The grand consummation, when after crushing the opposition, he hands over his kingdom to God the Father. He won't let up until the last. He won't let up until the last enemy is down. And the very last enemy is death. As the psalmist said, he laid them low, one and all. He walked over. He walked all over them. When scripture says that he walked all over them, it's obvious that he couldn't do it at the same time be walked on. When everything and everyone is finally under God's rule, the Son will step down, taking his place with everyone else. Showing that God's rule is absolutely comprehensive. It's a perfect enemy. 1 Corinthians 15, 15 James, 24. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When he puts an end to all rule, all authority, and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. So we live in a current. I've been a new life in a current. This was 2004, the day after Christmas. Thousands of the European and American tourists have flocked to the beaches of Thailand, Sri Lanka, and Indonesia to enjoy the winter trip in tropical paradise. At 7:59 a.m., a 9.1 magnitude earthquake, one of the largest ever recorded, ripped through an undersea fault in the Indian Ocean, propelling a massive column of water toward unsuspecting shores. The Boxing Day tsunami will be the deadliest in recorded history, taking a staggering 230,000 lives in a matter of hours. The city of Banda Pasaw, on the northern tip of Sumatra, I don't know how to say this, yes, was closest to the powerful earthquake epicenter. The first wave arrived in just 20 minutes. It's nearly impossible to imagine the 100-foot rolling mountain of water that engulfed coastal city of 320,000, instantly killing more than 100,000 men, instantly, women and children. Buildings folded like houses and carts. Trees and carts were swept up in the glow. Black rapids, and virtually no one caught in the deluge survived. Howling was next. With waves traveling 500 miles an hour across the Indian Ocean, the tsunami hit the coastal provinces of an hour and a half later. Despite the time lapse, local tourists were caught completely unaware of the imminent destruction. Curious beachgoers even wandered out among the oddly receding waves, only to be chased down by a churning wall of water. The death toll in Thailand is nearly 5,400. It's just, we have a current that we swim in. There's a tsunami coming. And it looks a lot like the kingdom of God. And we can be part of the kingdom. It's just, there's no comparison about the current and a tsunami. It was interesting. This week, even with the hurricane, it's just kind of cool. If the smartest people on the farm are the dogs, you know? They knew something was up, but they knew a hurricane thing was coming, and that they didn't need the radar. But let's just be aware. We're doing life in the current, male and female. God says what it is. It will always be good. I don't know. We're going to look a little bit more at male and female next week and just some of how that plays out. Maybe just open it up if anybody has any thoughts and input, and then we'll close.
through a generation which knew not Thomas Jefferson. And then when you look at when this country was first built, you look at what is the standard for back then, and like some of the things that, even though a lot of those were some of the people that were during the Declaration of Independence, they weren't Christian believers, not the majority of them. Some of them were, but they made it to where some of those same laws that were written in the Bible were part of the Declaration of Independence. And you look at today's data of how people forget the morals of which this country was built upon and what has made this country prosperous. And, you know, times like that, it's grows a new generation which doesn't really know what morals are and who God is. And as every generation, a new generation is born, they forget the main principles of what is to be more of a Christian like, you know. And many people, when you look at the Israelites, it's a good example that faith sometimes without suffering can be short-lived, because we tend to forget our faith sometimes in God, because it's so easier to forget than it is to remember. And usually a lot of times this suffering is what really brings us back to God, the Creator. And when there is no suffering and there is a lot of supposedly good times, is when people in general forget the blessings that God has given us.
I think that's the thing that's kind of heavy sometimes, is that, you know, we wrestle with those things in our day and we have to navigate that, but like, are we being clear with our kids and our youth? And like, they have a word. There are so many voices.
One of the things I thought about Jesus, these are pretty big things we're talking about, but typically the devil doesn't work that way. He doesn't expect us to take these huge jumps. I think what he'd rather do is have us take small things, compromise on little issues. Yeah, if you can do that, that's where he wants. Because eventually, we may end up in that same situation. If you're going to start compromising on the small things, that's stricter, then I think eventually, where do you start? And I think that's where we need to be looking. I think the devil, he wants us to take the baby steps. We can get us to where some of those things you talk about seem like very far off from Christians, and it is. But I think if he can get us to compromise on small things, he can eventually get us to where we don't want to be. The question is, are we going to be a city that's set on a hill that can't be hit? Are we going to influence our culture, or is culture going to influence us? Is culture going to influence the church? And I think that's what we're doing.
Thank you for your attention. Let's just stand up and